Blog Talk Radio.
Let's Talk Truth is designed to shine a light on that part of us that's hidden deep within us, and it stunts our growth. Truth is only truth if it lines up with the Word of God. Otherwise, it's merely our apparently, our apparently, our apparently.
If you really wanna talk, then let's talk truth. Hey. Any situation that you face can be talked through. No problem too big, there's no problem too small at all. Trying to maintain to keep from smashing through a wall. Heavy load up on your shoulders, trying hard not to fall. Situation after situation, throwing curveballs. Got you worried about your job, a word about your kids, a word about the things people said or what they did. Your husband ain't doing right, or maybe it's your wife, 'cause they let the devil step in and creep up in your life. Hey, L-O-I-C-E, come and help us out, please, 'cause we all in desperate need and need to learn to plant our seed. We gotta grow as a...
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. How's everyone today on this magnificent Tuesday evening? We have had some awesome weather in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex today. After it's been cold, we have really had some wonderful weather. So, you know, just that's awesome in itself. I want to say hello and good evening. And we're here on Let's Talk Truth. This is Lois, and I'm your host for today. Today we're going to talk about something that I'm going to let you form your own opinion on it until we get into the show. It's entitled, Where Can I Find Hopelessness? Hopelessness. We're here, first of all, I want to ask you a question. Is it hard for an individual to spot hopelessness on a daily basis?
No.
Then, are we so caught up in ourselves that we can't see the forest for the trees?
Sometimes.
And so Let's Talk Truth is here today. We're going to examine the ups and downs that occur in a person's life that causes that feeling of hopelessness. First, I want to thank everyone for coming on board. I also want to thank our guests for being here, Shannon, Dijon, Mr. Motivator, and Lee. Thank all of you all for being here, because I know that you have some awesome and powerful input on this particular subject. So as I say at the beginning of every show, we're not here to preach to you. I'm sure you all have your various preachers, teachers, whomever that shares the truth with you. But as we're called Let's Talk Truth, we are geared to sharing the truth. And the only way we can do that, it has to be surrounded by the Word of God. So we do put God in our show. That's Amen. The only way we can come down to the bottom line of truth. Amen. So now, if you think about it real good, so I know a lot of you, I don't want to be preached to, and we're not trying to preach to you, but I'm just trying to share with you that that's the only place to, that's the only way you can arrive at the truth.
Right, sure, relevant of Christ yeah. being involved in the situation.
Now, the thing that I want to actually bring to mind, we try to, on Let's Talk Truth, have thought-provoking subjects. So what I know we have provoked thoughts in your minds as you've heard this title, Where Can I Find Hopelessness? So either one of our guests, tell me what actually stemmed in your mind or came about in your mind when you heard that title, Where Can I Find Hopelessness? Really and truly, because we don't want to go around looking for hopelessness. That's a negative side of life.
Well, I would like to go first, because you don't have to look for it. It's in your everyday to day living, especially nowadays with the economy, how jobs are. For example, in the grocery store, I'm one of those people, I'm coined the social butterfly. Because I can talk to whomever, wherever, no matter what race, ethnicity, background, whatever. And you can look and see people who are shopping freely, getting what they want from the store. And then you can see that mother pushing the basket with her children, putting a few items here and there, looking at prices, comparing things, not being, like, conscious-minded about what they're spending. I mean, because they have no other choice. Getting the bare minimum. Like, you just see a basket full of vienas and bread and, you know, ramen noodles and things like that. And the kids are steady asking for things like, hey, Mom, can we get wheat bread? No, we got to get the 98 cents bread. You know,
mm-hmm.
You see that. But you see the look in the parent's face, the eyes tell everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't, I don't even know, like, I'm tired of not being able to provide the things that my children want. Now, of course, they're not starving because they have noodles. But who really, who wants to eat noodles every day? Who wants to eat vegetables every day? Potted meat, you know, things like that. But you see these parents not being able to provide because, you know, it's not like thinking everybody wants to take government assistance, but if you make a certain amount of money, you don't qualify for government assistance, like food stamps or things like that. So you still put in that bond because you have to provide a place, a nice place for your child to live, and you have, you know, utilities that come along with it. School has become more expensive because you have these uniforms, and they wear out.
Of course.
It's just like any other clothing. So they wear out, that you have to buy tennis shoes. And I know I'm not saying Jordans and things like that, but you still have to make sure that if your child walks home from school, they can't wear, you know, $2 shoes that are going to tear up after 1 week because they're putting all that pressure walking on them. You know, you have to think about all those things. It could be anywhere from driving downtown Dallas by the Life Foundation, looking at the homeless people outside. Not just men, not just women, families, husbands and wives and their children who didn't have renter's insurance and their house burned down. They have nothing. So they have to depend on the Red Cross or the shelters downtown to fend for them. Or these battered women, escaping men, going to the battered women's shelter, just everything. Go to any neighborhood urban store and the drug heads outside begging you for change. I mean, there's hopelessness everywhere because, you know, it's hard for people to see a ray of hope. Because nowadays people are so closed off, if they have anything positive to show, they're not shining it upon those people who don't even know what hope looks like.
Of course. Okay.
I've rambled on.
Okay.
Continue, someone else.
Let me, before you go with that, let me give you a, I looked up the word hopelessness. Hopeless is the adjective. Hopelessness is the noun. But it means impossible to accomplish, solve, resolve, or to bring a closure to. Desperate, despairing. All of those things fit that. And so now that that's out there, what did you want to have something to say?
Mm-hmm. Well, what comes to mind, where can we find hopelessness?
Mm-hmm.
What comes to my mind is your nearby unemployment or workforce office,
mm-hmm.
because you go in there and you see all these lines of people, and they're depressed and they're out of work. They're looking for jobs, and you hear somebody saying, wait a minute, somebody made 4 copies of their resume. You're only supposed to make 1 copy, 2 copies. And you're like, well, I got to go to a job firm. And there are going to be a lot of companies. I'm sorry, but we're going to let you make 4 copies of your resume.
Hmm.
And you see the frustration of people wanting to get on the computers, and so everybody's in line. We're going to have to call security because we got too many people here, and we can't let everybody use computers, and people wanted, we're here to get a job. And to me, that's it's a place, even though they're operating to try to assist people, you can see the disparity and the hopelessness in people's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just it can be devastating if you've never been in an environment that you're around people who feel like this is it, and we're just here.
Mm-hmm. Well, I see hopelessness during the time of graduation.
both high school and college, especially college, because you got all these kids coming out of school with hopes of getting these what's called 6- and 7-figure incomes for the degree that they obtain. However, when they come out of school, they realize that those 6 and 7 income jobs are nowhere to be found. So they have to settle for minimum wage jobs or sometimes no job at all. So it may take months and maybe years for them to even get a job in whatever
that's
they went
right.
to school for.
Plus they got
to
pay those loans back.
And they got to pay those loans back.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I totally agree. I'm going to ask another question.
Yes.
Whose responsibility is it to ease or help to alleviate the hopelessness that we see on a day-to-day basis? Whose responsibility is that when you say ours?
Everybody. You know, it went back to when I was young, how they said it took a whole village to raise a child.
Mm-hmm.
People stopped getting involved.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not, and they, you know, people get involved when it's time to be nosy or something drama filled.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they think something's going on, girl, I think they're getting beat over. Let me call CPS. Or when they, girl, I think their life got cut off. Let me find out. People stop getting involved on a caring level. It's mm-hmm. all superficial. It used to be where you saw a little boy in the neighborhood, you see him with those holes in his shoes. You know, and usually where you could go buy some shoes and you see him passing and say, what kind of shoe do you wear? You know, here you go. You know, I was led to do this for you. Just wanted to give them to you. Now, that can turn out two ways. Either the little boy is going to be offended because of how people have treated him prior, or when you take them home, his mother's going to be offended because how it will knock her ego down or her pride. We stop getting involved with one another. If you know, for example, like Mr. Motivator said about the job, you going to the unemployment office. It seems like now the world is set up to make you fail.
Yes.
Now, if I'm going to a job fair, I don't have a computer at home, and I have the opportunity to submit my resume to 15 different people to get a job,
mm-hmm.
they're going to ask for a resume. That's common sense.
Mm-hmm.
So why are you limiting me to 4? But then you will tell me, I need you to make sure you're looking for a job. Well, you're not assisting me look for this job.
Yeah.
I have to be able to print this copy. If I had a job, I would have to be here making these copies. I could go get them done somewhere
mm-hmm.
and pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
But you mean to tell me you are limiting me to your free services
mm-hmm.
and I don't have a job. At least I'm looking.
Mm-hmm. You know,
so you're setting people up for failure, and I hate that
yeah.
because I feel like that's like telling, you know, you have a child that's overweight and you go and bake a bunch of cookies and sit them on the table. What kind of sense does that make? You putting it out there for your child to eat, but you want them to lose weight?
Yeah. You know, Shannon, you have just actually said something so profound that you really, really think about it.
Yeah.
I tell people all the time, it seems as if now it's our job to make sure things don't work.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, we got to make sure it doesn't work, so that we can spend all of our time making it work. But we are programmed to make it not work.
Yes, right.
But I have a job here that I'm going to pretend that we're here to make it work.
Right.
But we're really not here to make it work.
No, you're right.
And so, and I've been thinking about things like that, and sometimes I get to the point that I don't know what I can do, but I know something needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to start with one individual, ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We have to start with ourselves helping to eradicate hopelessness.
Mm-hmm.
But in order to do that, you've got to have the, what word am I looking for? Whatever it takes to love. Whatever it takes to love, that's what we have to have.
The humbleness, the caring.
Yeah, we can't do it unless we love everybody, even the crackheads. I'm going to tell you one thing that touched my heart so deeply
mm-hmm.
was I saw a young lady that was on crack. It's different for the men and the women, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But if a lady loses her dignity.
I don't know, the men lose it too.
I know, but if a lady loses her dignity and she will do anything for drugs, mm-hmm. anything for drugs, that's so horrible to me.
To me.
And
I agree with that.
And so we've got to start thinking past the pages that our rules and procedures are written on, because that's all they are.
Mm-hmm.
They're rules and procedures on paper, because we are geared to not make it work. I live in a neighborhood that's racially mixed.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to call the name of this business because this business needs to be addressed. And that's Walmart.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. I go to a Walmart in an area that is racially mixed. It is set up to not make it comfortable for their customers. I have been in there on numerous of times. You've got two lanes open to check out groceries. It's during the food stamp time of the month. So you know how big and full these baskets are. And you've got two cashiers open to take care of all those baskets. Then you've got two that's geared to take care of 20 or less. There are no 20 or less because it's food stamp day. And these baskets are piled to capacity and running over. Then you see a couple of employees standing around talking. I called a young lady today. I was in there this morning. And I had about 30 items. The lines are so long and just packed. I asked for a manager. You can never have them. It's never a manager. Well, one lady came out. She was almost a manager. I think she, at first, I addressed a young African-American female. And I know you guys can write me all you want to. I'm going to give you my email address. It's Let's Talk Truth. 333@yahoo.com. Send me anything you want to send me, but I'm going to say this. There was a young African-American girl just standing idle that worked there. I said, ma'am, could I see you a moment? She looked at me as if I had asked her to pay my house note. Very unpleasant. She walked up to me, yeah.
Yeah.
I said, is there a manager on the floor? I don't know. And she walked off. Why is this young lady in public?
Why is she employed
in a public position? Now, we're talking about hopelessness.
Okay, so let me explain to you. Let me explain to you.
Wait a minute. She walked off. Another lady came by, and she said, no, ma'am. She said, the managers aren't here. So she went and got another lady who came up to me with a paper with some charts. You see, ma'am, these charts here show how many people we're supposed to. I said, ma'am, I'm a customer. I don't want to see your chart. I'm saying that there should be a manager on this floor that can make a decision to increase the cashiers during this period, and then when it's over, send them back to doing whatever. But right now you got people, lines wrapped around the place. You know, she said, I understand, but this doesn't come from the manager. This comes from our corporate office. Now, talking about hopelessness,
Do you know I felt hopeless right then? Because how can a corporate office tell a store how to position your employees during a busy time? Corporate office is nowhere near where we are. So to me, that store is being set up to fail.
Let me explain something to you. It's not just Walmart. It's like worldwide. Here as of late, I have noticed that the more businesses I frequent, just because you have the title manager does not mean you know how to manage. Mm-hmm. Now, anyone who's taken business 101 out there, you know that when working under a corporation, there are rules delegated by corporate office, but they can be an addendum made based on business needs, especially since you are the seller of goods. Now, that's something that anyone has learned in economics, business 101. Now, you mean to tell me you put someone in a position because they have a degree, they went to college and they got a degree, but you put them in a managerial position does not mean they know how to manage.
Exactly.
That comes with experience. That has to be taught. Like, this is what is common sense in business to do. Now, the problem you have there, you have someone who is ill-equipped to handle that job, who they put in a position of power, who in turn are hiring a bunch of other people who are ill-equipped to do their job. So it starts at the top and trickles its way down. So somewhere along the line with this whole hopelessness thing, it started years back. And when people ignored it, it's just like, you know, HIV. Everybody ignored it at first. Oh, it's a gay disease. Now that everybody's popping up with it, now everybody's, oh, my God, you have to be concerned with HIV. You know, be concerned with things from the beginning, not just as humans. We seem to only be concerned about things that directly affect us at the time. Like people, you know, are think, oh, they're invincible, nothing can happen to them until one of their friends dies. It's just like, I don't know if it's something that was innately put into us that has been nurtured over the years as a people. Mm-hmm. And I'm not meaning black people, I mean white, black. Just
exactly.
Human race, period. We ignore things, we take a blind eye to things until it gets in a, such of a big knot where it's going to take all of everybody to unify to get it out.
Exactly. We want to start, we think that, oh, let's start with Obama. Let's start at the White House. Mm-hmm. Obama has nothing to do with the people that work at Walmart.
Nothing.
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 He
to do
didn't
with
hire
service
them.
Skills. Nothing to do with
work
none ethic.
Of those things. Mm-hmm. Now we talk about these. It puts you in a hopeless position. You feel that, and then if you go online, you want to talk to somebody at the corporate office. You're going to get somebody who's going to talk to somebody who's, and you're never going to get to somebody that's going to make a difference. So, with that said, if I can find hopelessness, there's a cure for it. We just have to figure out what it is. We have to figure out it. And I was thinking today, if we could picket enough Walmarts, just kill those sales for a week, because it's only at select Walmarts that this is happening, and it's basically in the minority,
urban,
where there are minorities. And but if we could picket those things, shut them down, to see corporate officers start feeling if that money don't come. We have got to put an end to hopelessness, and whose responsibility is it?
Us. We. The citizens, the consumers.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you're right, and there are a lot of things I think that are can be contributed or factored into hopelessness. For instance, say a person, an individual, they go in and they're applying, they're trying to get some automobile insurance for their automobile. Okay? They check them out, everything on the computer, everything looks good. Oh, wait just a minute. We may need to take a few days, or we got because it's showing you're okay, but we got to wait until we get accurate credit scores. That way we can, we'll know whether what type of a discount we can give you or your payments, or maybe you're looking at purchasing a home. And we gotta put everything off because everything looks like you're okay, but there's got to be something, someplace, so that we can adjust our payments. And
you know,
and how, name me, how many people do you know in your family that have a 900 credit score? Tell me, do you have a 900 credit score? Are we concerned about people having good credit scores? If that's the case, why is it that when you're making your payments on time and you're paying all your costs, you're not being credited for that? But the minute you lose your job, something happens, everything, all the negative stuff is reported, and
mm-hmm.
and you pay money to get it off, and it pops back another 10 years from that.
But
it seems that somebody is profiting off of someone not hitting the mark.
I agree with that. Now, the reason I say that is, it's been allowed to be this way because citizens haven't said anything.
Mm.
People don't unify when it comes to making laws and things like that. Everyone wants to be so divided. Now, to me, common sense means if I have insurance, that I don't know about everywhere else, so I don't know who's listening in radio land, but here in Texas, you have to have car insurance. It is a must. You cannot go without it. So, with that said, what does it matter if my credit, what my credit score is?
Now,
because I'm going to pay my insurance, either I'm going to be covered or I'm not. So that's up to me to get that ticket and get my car towed. And I don't have to get pulled over to realize I don't have insurance. You can put in my license plate to say if I'm insured because it's registered in the database within Texas. Now, somewhere, somebody had a brilliant idea and said, ding, 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 we can make more money by targeting people who have bad credit,
yes,
and up raising their rates,
right,
mm-hmm.
which makes it difficult for them because now it's mandatory,
yes,
that they have insurance.
Yes.
It's all a money making scheme. Like I said before,
mm-hmm.
we have closed our eyes
mm-hmm.
to too much and shut up.
Yes.
We have shut up about things.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, when we see something, oh, we're not going to say anything. The whole no snitch policy. Everything is just about being quiet. And in the interim, while we're shutting up, we're getting jugged in the behind.
Yeah.
At least hold my hair if you're going to do me like that. But I feel like there's too many people who have the right, who can govern these laws. We don't have, we have Congress. We have a state representative. We have senators. We have the little people that march around here with the little braids. What's the man's name?
Braids.
You know the man who's got a ghetto hat, the biker types and the braids. Black dude got in trouble for embezzling money.
Oh, he's city council.
Yeah, city council. You didn't start at the city and move your way up. You have to start somewhere. Get involved in that. People research on how to do everything in the world. You can research how to cook dope, but you can't research how the protocols will go about to change something that's going to affect your pocketbook in the long run.
You're absolutely right. Now, I've been in insurance for years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm no spring chicken. I'm 25.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been in the insurance business a long, long time. Why does credit scores affect what you pay for your insurance? To me, that's just stupid.
It is, because if I don't pay, I'm not going to be covered.
Yes, I'm
right.
not going to be
so
covered.
Right. What does that make?
Why would you charge me more because I have a 6.0 credit score on your 9?
Yes.
You know, are you penalizing
It'll be
me?
Different if you looked at tickets.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you have a habit of driving crazy, so we need to raise your rate.
Yeah.
Because you have so many tickets and you keep speeding, and that's a liability for us.
But
you're
that is, it is looked at for that.
Yes, but that makes sense. You're more prone to have accidents,
but
so I need to look at you for your ticket behavior. But you mean to tell me, because I lost my job 2 years ago, had my house foreclosed on,
and you went to
knock my credit score down. I went to the hospital because I was under so much stress
and
I was losing my job. And then also that my son ended up getting injured, so I had to use whatever little money's in my savings to pay for that, which made me behind on my bills. Now my car got repoed the first time, so it went back. And I have all this on my credit based on scenarios. You mean tell me you're going to raise my insurance because of that? and I'm just trying to cover the car that I have now.
Yes.
Because if I can't pay for the car that I have now, I'm not going to need your insurance anyway.
Yeah.
So what does that, does that make sense?
It doesn't.
It doesn't, but it's saying you should be punished because your life is not perfect.
And then we look at, talk about hopelessness.
Yeah.
Where do you find most of your drug addicts?
In the hood.
In the hood.
Mm-hmm. For those of you who know what that is, it's a very urban area where minorities abide.
Now, listen, what I don't understand, we have drug addicts on the street. Mm-hmm. You catch them high, you put them in jail. Where did they get the drugs from?
I'm sorry to interject, but I take that back. We do have a lot of drug addicts in the suburban area, suburbia.
Mm-hmm.
But the difference between the hood and suburbia is that they tend to, in suburbia, tend to have money to clear up the drug head, or to get, they're on a different type of drug, like expensive things like prescription medication or black tar heroin or, you know, little things like that. And it's not really shown on television when you have, you know, little Timmy who has OD'd in his room, him and all his friends had who could take the most heroin, and they all OD'd in the room. You don't never see that on TV. It's only the focal point is on the urban area. So I wanted to interject there because I don't want it to make it look like as if only minorities have a drug problem. There are more Caucasian people in rehab than anything. Failed rehab, might I add, but rehab nevertheless.
Now, you're absolutely right. My point is, why do we grab these young people who they're on the drugs?
Mm-hmm.
We're slapping them in jail.
Mm-hmm.
We're sending them to prison.
Mm-hmm.
But the person they got the dope from is still operating.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have, I don't think that there's a minority out there that's got enough money to bring dope over here,
mm-hmm.
to put it on the streets.
Oh, so you're saying that you don't think
they're locking
up enough money?
No, they don't. We don't have no airplanes. We flying, and we don't have no yachts and ships. We're bringing it up. We just don't have that. So we're talking about hopelessness here.
Mm-hmm.
How hopeless is that you see a dying breed or a group of people that's being We're dying off. Our young people are dying off, or we're rotting in prison
mm-hmm.
for something that's still going on.
Mm-hmm. You know,
if you legalize it, they have the ability to pay taxes.
I'm not talking
and
about
more into
first
the economy.
You mean say why? Let me explain. Now, hard drugs they will not legalize because they make too much money in the medical industry on those. Mm-hmm. Everything that's used in those hard drugs that are out there now come from medicine. Doctors use it.
Mm-hmm.
As far as marijuana,
for medicinal.
For marijuana, it will be too hard for them to make it legal because that's why it's hard for them to make it legal because they cannot tax it. Why? Because you can take a simple seed and put it in your backyard and grow it, and they won't be able to get you because it'll be legal at that point.
Mm.
So
but
that's
my
why,
thing.
But I wanted to share something. We're talking about hopelessness. Let me explain why I think this world is so messed up. When I was a very young girl, I was attacked one time.
Mm-hmm.
By a gentleman, an older man. Nothing happened to me or nothing like that. He was caught. And this man had he been given the opportunity and me not being a fighter like I am, this man would have taken what was mine, my innocence, my body, my everything. No, I was not a virgin at the time, but nevertheless, it's mine to give away. That man received less than 2 years in the penitentiary. Less than 2 years. But you will take somebody who is selling crack to someone who's willingly buying it
mm-hmm.
and give them a lifetime in jail.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you put that one drug dealer up, it's not gonna, it's gonna be another one popping his place.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have a man who is attacking ladies, attempting to rape them, and you have them on the street, if you put that man up, how many ladies have you saved? A rape occurs every 7 minutes
mm-hmm.
in the United States. Every 7 minutes, a rape occurs. And you mean to tell me you'll give some snotty-nosed man less than 2 years, and he has a possibility to give me AIDS? Heaven knows if he'd have bled on me because I cut him with a little keychain that was orange with a little box cutter in it. That's what saved my life, my brother's keychain.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you mean to tell me you'll give him 2 years? I'm sorry, less than 2 years,
yes.
because he got out early on parole.
Mm-hmm.
Physically attacked me, like I was bruised.
Mm-hmm.
You physically attacked me, but you get out in less than 2 years,
mm-hmm.
and I sell a little crack to somebody in my neighborhood who wants to buy it. If they're not buying it from me, they're going to buy it from the man down the street.
Mm-hmm.
Versus saying, the crackhead, you want to take the crack out the neighborhood, fix the crackhead. Because if ain't nobody to buy the product, then they won't make no money.
Mm-hmm. I got you.
That's the point. But you'll take somebody. Ain't no way you can say, well, all the ladies stay in the house so y'all won't get attacked. No, I'm going to have to go out sometime.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But you'll get his food less than 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll sell a little crack. You're going to give me 10?
Yeah.
What kind of sense does that make?
Yeah,
does that make any sense?
No,
and I'm, the reason I'm sharing, I don't talk about this. I don't. I talked to my brother about it before, like right after. But I will say this. The reason I'm sharing it because I know what it feels like to feel hopeless, to be scared all the time,
yeah.
to feel like you don't know what's happening next or what's going to go on. I know what that's like.
Mm-hmm.
But we have said that so long and not been a part of anything. We just let everything go. Oh, well, this, you know, this is the new law. This is this. Say something about it. Get involved. When you see them putting them ballots up, vote. Go do something. Have a voice. Speak out. Write a letter. Do something. But we all want to be on the news when it's time to talk about anything drama field. You talk about the Atlanta Housewives. Everybody want to talk about that. Oh, Love and Hip Hop. I watch those shows. I do.
I don't.
But at the same token,
mm-hmm.
I will voice my opinion when it comes to something else, and I mean to somebody who matters.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to sit back things that directly affect me, and I'm not going to say anything. And that's why people feel hopeless. No one gets involved anymore when it means something.
Nobody cares.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
No one cares because if it doesn't directly affect me,
exactly.
I'm not going to. It's not in my house.
Exactly.
So I don't care about it being down the street.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I'm talking about. Where can I find hopelessness? Anywhere on any block in any city. In anybody's backyard, you can find hopelessness. But should it be there?
No.
No.
It should not. Let me tell you where it starts, if not, you can say start at home. There is a church
mm-hmm.
on every corner.
That's true.
In the city. Sometimes you can go, there's a place that's called Restaurant Row.
Mm-hmm.
There's a place that's called Church Row,
mm-hmm.
several of them here in Dallas. They're just, you know, you walk out of this one, go a couple of feet down, it's another church, it's another church.
Mm-hmm.
We have churches, oh, we're big, we're on TV. I've got 30,000 members. You've got all of this, but you're not making a difference in the hopelessness in your neighborhood because it's people sitting right. You won't let them get on your church property and sleep, but they can sleep on the parking lot next door to your church.
Mm-hmm.
But if they keep making your church building look bad, you're going to have them hauled out from there.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? Hopelessness.
Right.
People don't have anything that they can look forward to. Mm-hmm. Nothing.
The thing is, what people seem to realize, you know, everybody deserves a chance. Now, there are some people who are content with doing whatever they're doing and how they're doing it and what's going on. But at the same token, we have to present people with an alternative. Like, you can always say, oh, no one lays down one day, you know what, when I grow up, I'm going to be homeless. And when I grow up, I'm going to be the biggest crackhead in the world. I'm going to have all the dope.
That's not a childhood dream of anyone. Mm-hmm. No one laid down and said they wanted to do that. Mm-hmm. But somewhere along the line, life has failed them.
Mm-hmm.
People that are around have failed them.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody don't have somebody to love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we did a radio show in December talking about the Christmas spirit. Christmas spirit. Now, during December, starting December 1st through the 31st, people are so giving. More homeless people got taken place. You know, let's take them to a hotel and bathe them up. Because they're homeless 12 months out of the year. They're not just homeless for that one night in December. So, you know, if those people who can should do. And then reach out for the help of the people who can't. Like, you know, you got Habitat for, you know, for Humanity.
Mm-hmm.
Where they help build people's houses. That's fine. But there are certain qualifications you have to get on to be on Habitat for Humanity.
Yeah, it's called red tape.
And you tell me,
you got to go through
you
this.
Tell a homeless person, get a job. Folks, let me ask you something. When you go fill out an application, they ask you for your address.
Yeah.
If you live on the street, what is your address?
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to consider your application?
No.
Because your application is incomplete. You don't have an address on there. They're going to think you're silly, and then they're going to take you seriously based on the application.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have money if you are on the streets and homeless? Do you have something to work to an interview?
I think the computers aren't programmed to go quite that far. I talked to some people on the holidays, homeless people. Yeah, I talked to some of them that were out on the street, and one gentleman told me that it was rough because he was sleeping under a building with newspapers, and I asked him. I said, hey. Have you tried to get in to get some help and everything? And he said, sir, it's to get some help is almost impossible because he said it used to be when we were homeless we could go and get they give us a piece of bread. But he said now you have to have two forms of ID and you have to show proof of residence. And he says I'm homeless, and I'm like that is so dumb. How can you go and ask for food, and somebody says, hey, you got to have two forms of ID,
mm-hmm.
and you need
you
to
have
show
to
proof
pay
of
for ID.
Residence. We,
yeah.
we got to show.
And does
we gotta
it matter what your
of,
name
of your
is
lease.
If you need a sandwich?
Yeah.
Does it matter what your
name is? You
know
what's so sad about it, though?
Yeah, but
the reason
some of your lease
have been implemented
sandwich.
Is because of the stupidity of others.
Yes.
You didn't say one boy, bad apple spoils a bunch. Well, you know, kind of it does. They say that rules don't apply, but it does. You have people who have pretended to be other people and gone to homeless shelters, you know, battered other people, which is why they have strict rules now at these shelters and things like that. It is bad people out there. I'm not going to sugarcoat and say, oh, yes, it is. Some people got in that position because they just hard-headed, and they want to do what they want to do, and there they go. That's where they are. But because of them, others have to suffer. Now, some things that are in place don't make common sense.
Mm-hmm.
Not at all.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I've talked.
But that's why they put them there, because of situation.
Yeah. And I talked to another
because if I have an ID, if I have ID,
mm-hmm.
and I have a name,
mm-hmm.
and I have a picture ID I can show you, if I'm going to go in there and steal and rob, I'm going to do it whether I got that ID or not.
That's true.
That's not going to change
that's
it.
That's true.
And if I walk into that, that's
if you're homeless, then like they can go to your house and
they're not
going
to go to my house and find me.
And I talked to another young lady who was homeless, and she said they told her, we give you a job, but you need a skill. You And so she went to one of the programs of being offered a school for people with no education and give them some computer training and everything. And she said she was turned down because they needed two forms of ID and a proof of a residence, a proof of a lease or the show she was in order for her to take the computer classes, so she couldn't get in.
You know, when
I thought it was sad.
That's real sad. When I first started dealing with the homeless, there was an older man that was homeless. I don't know. He had been homeless a long time. But I used to talk to him. I used to go buy him cigarettes and take it to him in the park where he was sleeping. So he and I talked, and I asked him, did he want to come off the street? And he said, ma'am, I've been out here so long.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I've kind of gotten accustomed to being out here. He said, and for one reason and one reason only, I'm not treated. I don't have to deal with people treating me being crazy.
Yeah.
And treating me horrible if I stay out on the street.
Yes.
Do you know that man had a PhD? And he said, I'm homeless and I'm staying on these streets by choice right now. He said, because have you tried to deal with people in these different programs and facilities the way they talk to you?
Yeah, they're horrible. And they can't really relate to people. Well, why do you need this money if you don't have a job and why do you come in here? Why don't you get a job instead of asking? So it's difficult, and definitely when people go to churches and they go to organizations that want to reach out and they get hassled and they get
some of the churches really bad. Just as bad. That's just some of the churches have to take you in and make sure they bathe you and flea dip you or whatever that is. That's
mm-hmm.
degrading to those
yeah.
people.
And then you can give them a piece of bread and
I'm yeah, that's know. Horrible.
Yes.
Now, I agree with that shower thinking because
it's okay,
most people
but
on
the way
street
they
and
treat
that
it.
Feces, that is give you a disease. Hepatitis.
It may give you all that, but there's still a way to do it.
No,
yeah,
I'm not saying
right.
like,
it's
ugh,
way
get
to treat people with
bathe.
It's a way to treat people with diplomacy,
yes.
dignity.
You have to have treat
yeah.
people like you want to be treated.
Yeah.
That's hurting to the heart for you to find people that the way people are talked down to.
Yes.
You know, that's why we still have hopelessness in this world, and it's growing greater and greater.
Yes.
You know, we don't even know how to treat ourselves. I was watching something on television. You know, it's Dove, the deodorant makers. They do all these things for women to uplift women and things like that. First thing they did was took two women and they stared at each other, examined each other's faces. And when you go in the room, you go in there by yourself, and to a man who cannot see you, you describe yourself and then you describe the woman that you saw. And the woman that you saw describes herself and she describes you. And these people were looking at how they describe themselves was way worse than what the other people saw.
Mm-hmm.
Second thing they did, they went in the store, and the jeans and everything in the clothing had all these negative, you know, labels like muffin top jeans and, you know, jiggly thigh jeans and, you know, fat arm top. And they were looking around like this, and they were saying how these are things that we think about ourselves.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And if you keep thinking those negative things about yourself, it is impossible to not portray them
mm-hmm.
outward. I think we all need to take a reflective look at ourselves, fall in love with ourselves, because really, if you get down to it, that's why we cannot, as a race, show love to other people, because we're uncomfortable with ourselves. We're
mm-hmm.
so bent and bad on this superficial view of what we think our life should be, what we should look like, what mate we should have, you know, and worrying about appeasing what the norm should be. Well, if you like, you know, big girls with little fros, date them. That's what you want?
Mm-hmm.
Date them.
Yeah.
That may not be for everybody, but everybody's so bitten bound on holding on to a stereotype. I don't know if everybody's going to think when they see me with her, or, well, I don't know if they're going to think when they see me with him. But it doesn't matter what they think. What do you think? Is
that's
that what
right.
you want?
That's right.
Is that what catches your eye,
mm-hmm.
then go for it. Like, we have spent so much time not loving ourselves, not, you know, I had to fall in love with myself. I really did. And I'll use me because I can't talk about nobody else
mm-hmm.
but me. I had to fall in love with Shannon all over again because I realized as long as I did not love Shannon or talk negatively about myself, everything that I breathed, ate, slept, thought was negative. And sometimes I still find myself thinking, if someone looking at me, I wonder if they're thinking something negative about me.
Mm-hmm.
And I automatically
but that's how you sabotage your own
exactly.
self, and you keep yourself in a hopeless situation.
I agree. And when she mentioned the word about people being negative, I saw a piece on the news the other night with Dr. Martin Luther King's daughter, and she was with this news anchor, and they were asking her some questions, and she was upset and angered because some people had taken her dad's picture, put chains and beads around him, and they had him on a rap song. And it was saying Dr. King believes his dream is twerping, and had all these people dancing and cursing. And she said, "I'm just angered and sad that there are people so negative they don't even understand the purpose behind what my dad was trying to do for me."
Exactly.
That's really sad.
Yeah, it really is. And another thing that keeps us in a hopeless state, I look at the things that we are attracted to.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this show right here that we're on, this show, Where Can I Find Hopelessness, this is a good show. It's something that will give us something to talk about, to really be able to share and to maybe change some of the way we look at ourselves and look at our lives. We won't listen to this show.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll grant you, I can go on Facebook and find every twerking video in there. And people are looking at it, and, oh, pass this on. This got 399 likes. It's got 762 million likes. You know, so this is what we need to, we perpetuate hopelessness because of the things we participate in. Everything we do, there's nothing wrong with twerking, but some people are working and the rest of us twerking. Is that all you know how to do?
Mm-hmm.
Is that all our young women know how to do, is put on the shortest short pants you can and twerk your behind all over the YouTube? Are you getting paid for this, lady?
Mm-mm.
No, you're not. When you go in Walmart doing the Wally World twerking, are you getting paid for that? No, you're not. So this is what I'm saying. We perpetuate hopelessness because of the things we interact and do participate in. Shannon was just telling us here, she said, if we want to stop hopelessness, we need to start participating in the things that we can bring about a change. You've got to bring about a change. But me just grinning all the time, laying back on some nasty little thing that I've looked at, or some little girl is two and can twerk better than a porn star,
mm-hmm.
we get all sorts of joy out of that.
And what about some people who make their shows, they feed into the negative stuff, steroids, and they use that to downgrade women and
Lord.
And they take all the negativity about it and feed into that,
mm-hmm.
and give themselves a different name to make it look like that they're not from that environment. What do you think about that?
It's horrible. 'Cause I was looking at somebody showed me a thing that came from YouTube. This man, what he stands for may be so right, but the way he puts it out there is so wrong.
Yes.
Because he is bashing African-American women.
Yeah,
and
using the B word like
horrible.
And trying to say
that. And I know his mother was African-American because
mm-hmm.
you can look at him and tell he's African-American.
Yeah.
So.
Is this the man with the arrow?
Yeah.
The bottom line is we can't use negativity and use garbage to enhance the truth, to make things better.
That's right.
I know we can't glorify junk and think that that's going to make things better.
Mm-hmm. And those are the things we have to really think about. What's going on inside of us? That's the first thing we need to try and change that.
Mm-hmm.
We need to change who we are, make sure we are positive, loving,
yeah.
Individuals who have an interest in others.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to be interested in what I am and what I'm about.
Mm-hmm.
And start sticking your nose in, showing people that they matter.
Mm-hmm.
You really do. And we've got 5 minutes left. Now we have 4 minutes. But I do want to take this time to let everybody know that I appreciate, you know, your input. Hopefully and prayerfully we can get people to provoke something inside of you to make you want to move to a point where, well, it was hopelessness on my street, but there's not any anymore. You know, we're going from street to street to eradicate it,
yeah,
or to kind of tame it in some way. Because if you put that question out there, where can I find hopelessness? Mm-hmm. Sometimes just look in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
You can find it in yourself,
yeah,
you know, and wherever we see it, there's a cure for it.
Yes, it is.
It's really a cure for it. Dijon, and you were here so patiently sitting. Is there any thought you want to offer about where you can find hopelessness?
Where you can find it almost, because there is always something that's going, but not going your way or going wrong. Because you don't care enough to want to change.
That's right. That's so true. And we are accepting.
Yeah.
We are so accepting whatever they put before us. I don't like it. I don't like it because I have to stand here and they're going to choke me once a day. I don't like it, but I'm just going to put up with it.
Yeah, I have to get choked at 3 o'clock. Ooh, this is getting on my nerve, bud. Oh, well.
Yeah. Now, I don't know if this is positive or negative, but my cousin Juju said that he was anemic. And after taking a little bit of marijuana, he said it gave him the munchies, and he now has appetite.
Yeah, but you know, that's one thing. Listen, motivator had to get one in there. Listen, let me say this. And for you young people who got these doctors' excuses or prescriptions to smoke marijuana, you need to go somewhere with that med.
It's the cancer and cataract.
What does it do to the cancer?
It prevents, they honestly do give cancer patients.
Do they?
Because stop cancer?
No,
what it does, when you have a certain type of cancer, it hurts your body.
Of course.
Like you're in severe pain and you're nauseated, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Medicinal marijuana takes away the nausea, which is why they prescribe it. It also gives them an appetite because they refuse to eat. And it is a natural pain suppressant because it relaxes them. And
so is morphine.
Yes, but like I said, natural. When you're battling cancer, you have to be careful on the medications that you take. That's why they're not saying go out there and go buy some weed from Juju. They're saying get some medicinal marijuana because they take the drug that everybody else, the regular drug properties out of there, and the focal point in that is to soothe the pain and nausea of that patient.
Well, what about people who somebody wrote them a prescription?
That's
horrible.
No, I heard people with multiple sclerosis.
If you want to find hopelessness, you find a young man or a young woman who has to wake up in the morning and be high to go anywhere.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I saw a couple of them on TV on Dr. Phil's show the other day, and he did a fantastic job telling this young lady, he said, I'm going to get you some help. He said, because if you don't get it next year, you will be dead. And so these are things. We have 60 seconds. I want to thank all of you for being here on a part of my show. And also I want to thank all of you that have listened to my show. And hopefully the show has truly been thought-provoking. If you'd like to listen to this show again in its entirety, you can go to my blog page, www.loisbullock.blogspot.com. Go in and listen to it. Where can I find hopelessness? We all agree that you can find it on any corner in any city in the USA or anywhere in the world.
Yes.
So from now on, I want to say that this is Lois Bullock. This is Let's Talk Truth. And guess what we're doing?
Loving you with the heart of God.
Oh, can I say hi to cousin Juju?
Good night.